Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling revelry.
No, no.
Sibling revelry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling revelry.
That's good.
So, the next guest you're about to hear, I actually had a major crush on for a long time.
Jessica Alba.
She really is.
And her amazing brother, by the way.
Josh.
Josh, what a great man he is. I mean,
so amazing. So sweet. Yeah. And kind and loving.
So sweet and gentle and.
Oh,
you know.
He was great. But it was fun for me. I mean, look, I've known Jess a long time. She's married to my friend Cash that I went to high school with. We were in the same grade. And so I've known them a long time, but I've never gotten to know Josh like that.
No, I know. Neither have I. You know, and he's going through some shit too that you're going to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to spoil it, but you know, he's had some moments and they had a moment on
They did.
The show.
It was kind of great.
They had a moment.
She
it was
actually
great.
Literally just wrote me. Hold on.
Did she? Yeah, it was towards the end, and they got into some religious conversation, and there's a little fireworks, and it was exciting. I actually was enjoying it thoroughly.
But it was good. It was so positive and amazing.
Yes.
But
real. I mean, that's what I love about when you bring two siblings on, you know, who can really talk to each other and get real with each other and are unafraid to say what they feel. And that's what happened. And it was awesome. You're going to like it. You're going to love it.
Yeah. You're going to
call me.
You're going to love it. Here is Jessica and Josh Alba.
Hi, you guys. I'm so excited.
What's going on?
This is so fun. You guys are really close in age. You're 13 months apart, which is like...
Irish twins.
I couldn't imagine having kids this close apart. Like, when I just think of, like, 9 months pregnant and, like, an infant and then 9 months pregnant again, like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. No. I couldn't even... I mean, look, I wait 7 years between my kids, so it's all.
You wait 7 years and different men. It's like there's a whole process.
There's like
that
chapters.
Goes on.
By the way, you're probably the most sane. My parents were like 19 when my mom was 19 when she had me, and 20 when she had my brother.
Wow.
Like, what?
It's just you guys, right?
Yeah.
Just us. Our mom got cancer, so she couldn't have any kids at like 22.
What a blessing, then, I guess, right? I mean, it was pop them out and then.
Boy, girl, or girl, boy, and that was it.
Right after, yeah.
Wow.
It all happens for a reason.
So you guys, where were you born?
We were born in Pomona. Oh, no, sorry. He was born in Mississippi. Sorry.
I was born in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Oh, so nice.
And she was born in Pomona.
Oh, so you got like the cool place to be born. Like for California, like Pomona, you're like, well, I was born in Pomona, you know. You're like Biloxi.
The Fairplex. You're next to the Fairplex.
Yeah.
So would you say that being so close in age, I mean, that obviously strengthened your bond, I would think, right? I mean, it's almost like who's the older one? I know there is one, but you know, being that close, you become more of a team, I would think.
I would say in the early ages, yes. And then there was a time where, I mean, I just kind of antagonized. I don't know. Maybe I just.
No, I always acted older.
Older, yeah.
Yeah, like
She was like
a grown ass woman when I was like three. Like I was.
Yeah.
I was like
that's
that.
That's usually
kid.
Like it's you. That's usually like I feel like I've always been the older sister, even though I've never been. Older than Oliver. I think that's a very typical thing for girls that we kind of, it's like, I don't know, maybe it's our DNA. We're just like ready to figure things out very young.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot we don't like to deal with boys. We know how to, like, I can see it with Ronnie. Can't you see it with your girls versus the little one?
Hayes literally, all he wants to do is destroy and hit balls. and run and race. Like, I've never seen anything like this in my life.
Really?
Like, I, yeah, my Haven mind.
And Honor were not that way.
They still are. I mean, it's just, he's a maniac.
Yeah.
Like, he throws all the cushions off this morning. He threw all the cushions off the couch is racing, and then he dives off things and knocks his head, and everything is jumping head first into stuff. Like, I don't understand what's going on.
Well, Honor and Wilder, my oldest, are in the same class.
Yeah, and have you seen Honor?
She's, oh my God,
like 5'8".
I was gonna say she's like 6 feet tall.
Humongous.
And insanely beautiful and insanely smart. And I only know this because I've participated in some Zooms early on, just watching what was happening. And, you know, Wilder's like literally in his robe, not paying attention to shit. And Honor is like all up on it, raising her hand. No, she was just running the class. I mean, just talking and answering the questions and knew everything. And I'm like, damn. She's smart.
Well, I talked to her about like engaging in conversation and being respectful. I was like, these teachers don't, you know, do you think they like talking to a bunch of like brats on the, that are just being disrespectful and not paying attention? Like, it's annoying. So don't be annoying on her. Like, get your shit together. Like, have your teeth brushed. Like, be ready. Be present. Have your camera on. You know, I'm pretty.
Were you a good student? I know Cash was, because so just for people that don't know, Cash and I were actually in school together. So Wilder and Honor are in the same grade, right?
Yeah, and you were, and Oliver, were you in school with Koa?
Koa
was in my
grade, and then Ollie and Koa were in the same grade. So we go way, way, way back. I met Jessica through Cash. Right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that the first time we met?
Yeah.
And Cash was a very good student.
Right.
He went to Yale, so he must have been a good student.
Koa was a great student too.
Yeah.
She's smart. She's a great student too. Oh, naturally, it's annoying.
I just don't know. I will never know what that feels like. First of all, why were you born in Biloxi?
So my dad's in the Air Force. Okay. So from Pomona, and then he was stationed in Mississippi,
and then
stationed in Texas after that. So I was there for two. We were there for 2 years, and then Texas until about
I was in third grade.
You were in fourth grade, and then we moved back to California
and moved into my grandparents. They had like 5 houses, and so we lived in one of them, and they like lived with us half the time in one of their houses.
So your mom and your dad were together.
Yeah, they were like each other's first real like boyfriend and girlfriend, I guess. And then they like got married and are still together.
That's the cutest thing
all these years
on the planet. And they're very, I mean, I've seen some of the posts that you've posted. They seem like they still really love each other, which is
they do, right?
Wonderful.
They absolutely do. They're
like no one would put up with them but them.
it's like a married with children relationship. You know they love each other, but
they fight all the time.
They are just
at each other.
It is the funniest thing.
It is
like
funny.
People that are around them, it entertains anybody.
Yeah.
If you're around them.
Yeah.
Do you guys have memories of traveling around and being on the road all the time until you actually settled in?
I think the reason why I started acting and it felt so, I think I felt so comfortable in the circus of entertainment because it just felt, I guess, that nomadic life is felt right for me in a way. And it felt like home in a way. But then now when I look back, like I would like make every like trailer and hotel room and random apartment or random house rental for whatever amount of months. I would like cover it and drape it in fabrics and I would like change the bedding and I would like make it my own and try to create these little like nests because I think ultimately I really wanted to have a home, but I only knew that nomadic sort of life. What about you, Josh? Mm-hmm.
I hated traveling around. So I was all about sports and every time we had to move meant that I had to move places, had to prove myself again. I had to find new friends. Staying in one place was where I wanted to be.
I guess I love to travel, and I guess I couldn't wait to leave. And he was kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
It's funny because now that I have kids in school, Ryder, I was very nomadic with Ryder, and we would go around a lot and move. I mean, I was all over the place. But with once he turned about 10, I got more settled. And it definitely is helpful for everything when kids have, I think, that's just my...
When they feel, like, safe and there's consistency.
Yeah, you're not always moving around.
But what does consistency mean? Is it in the home or is it where you are? I mean, if you have consistent love and you have consistent siblings and then you're taking that show on the road, but, you know, that unit is strong no matter where you are. You know, I think there's something to be said for moving around, learning new things, making new friends. There's resiliency that builds up. It builds character, you know? I mean... I think that's there's an importance there.
I agree, and I'm with you in that, like, what doesn't I like the idea that you force kids out of a comfort zone and push them outside of a box and a safety net and force them to sort of like participate in the world. And I think the earlier you do that, the better people you raise. But at the same time, the other piece of it is if tomorrow doesn't feel like a sure thing, I think that it can be unsettling. I mean, I definitely dealt with a lot of like emotional stuff and like depression and like a lot of ups and downs emotionally just to like find my footing, because I felt like I was constantly having to reinvent myself and create a new narrative of who I am, because I didn't have a history with anyone.
Right.
It, where, you know.
But the man sitting to your left, you had him.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also dealing with sort of what you were going through from a medical standpoint as well. I mean, that has got to be trying, not just from a physical, but an emotional place, especially moving around too. That's just added baggage, huh?
Your mom got sick when you were how old?
We were little, like two or three.
I mean, it was right after I was born.
Yeah, one or two.
I think she might have had the surgery like almost immediately after.
Like a year after.
Mm-hmm. And then what was the recovery like for her? Was she lucky and had a swift recovery, or was it a long
process?
Well,
I think the thing is like, they put back in the day, they put women on like all of these like synthetic hormones. I mean, imagine having like a full hysterectomy. Like, what happens when you are menopausal, right? And you stop, and what happens to your hormones in your body? My mom went through that when she was 22, you know? And so, like, that's a lot. And my parents had never really been independent from their family and their parents. So they were like just trying to figure out how to like cook meals and raise a family and be people in the world and, you know, provide. And they both had like 2 to 3 jobs each. And then I had a lot of like medical issues. So my mom couldn't really hold down a consistent job and have a consistent career path, because she often had to like be with me in the hospital. It was really brutal for them.
When you were little and you were having, what was the sort of chronic, you say it was allergies, or it was just like all kinds of different things that they couldn't figure out?
She had asthma. She had.
I had asthma. I had like.
Was it a kidney thing or something?
A kidney issue. My kidneys were being damaged because I had like basically what runs from your kidneys to your bladder. I had 2 tubes on one side and one on the other, and it was. And I was born with it, and then they said that it went away, and then it came back. And then I had, like, cysts on when they took my appendix out. My appendix almost burst. My tonsils, I had cysts
Oh, my God.
My tonsils out. Yeah, it was just a lot of stuff.
I mean,
so it was, like, one thing after another. And then when I started acting at 12, isn't it weird? Like all of the medical stuff just went away.
It kind of went away. Yeah.
It's weird.
Would you just, as you're thinking about that, what would you attribute that to? I mean, do you believe in some sort of a mind body connection?
Well, after that, it was just clumsiness. If she was in the hospital, maybe twisted ankle or something along those lines.
You're stupid. I don't know. I think it was like my brother was sort of like the one that everyone in the family loved. And like they were like, can't you be more like Josh? He was like, the good. He was just like, he did all the right things. And I was the bad one always. I was just, I questioned authority. I questioned process. I questioned all of it. And I think once I found my independence through working, then I guess I sort of found a little bit of relief from trying to fit into the confines of what didn't make sense for me.
Hmm. Maybe. Why was Josh the golden child?
Who knows?
I wasn't the golden
child. Yes, you were, Josh. Don't even. Everyone liked you
better. I had bad grades. I didn't do well in school.
I did do better in school.
Yeah, you were better in school for sure.
For sure. But it was just easy for me.
I didn't do well in school until high school when I actually
Yeah, but you like watched cartoons every day and ate cereal and didn't care about school.
Yeah.
And you just cared about sports.
Sports and cartoons is basically sports, cartoons, and cereal.
And I think you still love sports, cartoons, and cereal. Let's be real.
You know, when you have a kid that just likes sports and cartoons, it's really easy. Yeah. You know, true, there's no complication.
Well, it's funny. I have a 15-year-old son and an 11-year-old daughter. And they're just talking about my son, and they've had a home. You know, they've had a consistent home, loving home. But my son is totally down with leaving off to college somewhere, just going off with his friend. Like, he's totally independent and okay with not being at home and homebody. But my daughter is the complete opposite. So it's kind of like, she's almost like me, and Carter's almost like it's her, like has that kind of mindset. It's kind of funny. But she cries if we say, hey, we're gonna go look in Texas or Idaho and might move out there. And she's like balls crying because she doesn't want to leave her house, like this house. Like, she has to be in this house for the rest of her life is the way she sees it. It's crazy.
That's so funny. It's so funny you say that, because we were at dinner last night and, you know, we saw a good friend of ours who's moving out, that you guys know, is moving out of LA to New York on, you know, 20 acres, moving the kids. And I'm like, God, I'm so jealous. I want to do that. And then I came home and talked to Wilder and the kids. Like, well, what if we just got out of LA? And they're like, are you serious, Dad? No way. We're not going. Yeah. I was like, oh, God.
I know.
Okay. It affects your decisions.
It does.
It does. But should it? You know what I mean?
I don't know. As a parent, I'm still torn. Like, we're kind of like, Brooklyn, get over it. But deep down inside, we're like, man, we can't do this to her. Only because I knew what it was like. I hated it. I was forced to move to Australia with these guys.
Oh, yeah.
And for like 2 years, my mom forced me. Honestly, I wish I would have enjoyed it more, but I despised
being
there.
Yeah, you were pretty miserable.
Because I didn't have any friends.
Because I did a TV show there.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, so you had the whole family had to move.
Not my dad. Yeah. My dad stayed.
He went back and forth.
He flew back and forth, but my brother came with us and he was really upset.
So it was no baseball, no football, because Australia doesn't do any of that stuff. I didn't play basketball. They were into basketball and I didn't play basketball. So.
He had to wear a suit to school.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Knee-high socks. And I'm like, I went to public school in California. Like, this is not, you know.
He had to wear like a polyester suit.
But now when you look back, are you happy you had that experience?
1,000%. 1,000%. Like, I actually, when I think about it, like, I had my own independence. That's when I did things on my own. I was by myself 90% of the time. So I just did things on my own. I would go to the beach because we were pretty close, and I would boogie board almost every day. I'd go fishing. I had all this stuff and I did it all myself. And I actually loved that part of it. I had a lot of just like alone time. And I was fat. And so I actually lost a lot of weight out there. Like, I worked out every day. Like wow. I was doing the 20-minute ab videos.
Jazzercise.
Yeah, it was like a jazzercise thing, but I didn't care. I was like, I'm gonna do it. And I was playing tennis. I played tennis a lot. That's when I got better at tennis. And I literally would be in the garage just hitting tennis balls until I just started dripping sweat. And I just wanted to, like, I was like, I'm gonna lose weight. This is gonna be my opportunity to, like, just shed pounds.
But in the moment, you were like, get me the hell out of here.
The whole time I was a punk because I just wanted to get out of there.
Yeah.
Did you have any sort of resentment towards your sister? Like, we got to fucking follow your ass here.
I didn't resent her. I resented my mom, honestly.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with just, honestly, I didn't blame her.
I think we should go to
therapy
because I feel like there is a resentment that you should get out and we should process together because it can't.
I do not resent her.
It can't not affect you to. And also, like, I am the blame. Like, ultimately, I am the reason why that is.
Honestly, I blame my mom. I don't blame my sister. She's the one who forced me to go. So I didn't, like, you know.
I feel like what Jess is saying, though, is that there might be some carried resentment somewhere that happens still now. I have it with Oliver. And, you know, we tried to do therapy. I'm not going to do that again.
It didn't work. Oh my god, that's amazing.
No, I know, but you know, as you get older, it's, you know, you can communicate better, and I think it's important sometimes, even when it's hard. You know, I think honestly, Katie and I have been more open and communicative in these last couple of years than we ever have been. You know, and it's been good just to get the shit out. Honestly,
yeah. Maybe that's why you guys are deciding to do this show. Because it like gives you guys a barrier. But then it also allows you guys to kind of work out some of your stuff.
Yeah. Or at least get like different perspectives on other people's relationships and actually realize like how lucky we really are, you know?
Because you guys are close.
We are really close.
You even live close. I listened to your last podcast. apparently you guys all live next to each other.
We're like literally right down the street.
But it has been fun. You know, doing this, you know, because you also get to see siblings who you want to emulate more, honestly, who are so close. And sometimes I'm like, I wish Katie and I were more like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Who do you think has like best sibling? Like, what are sibling goals for you, who you guys have spoken to?
Oh, gosh. There's been so many.
Really?
I think there's some siblings, like, honestly, when we did Tay... We did Tay Diggs and his brother.
Tay Gabriel.
Oh, yeah. My God. And just, it wasn't about their relationship as much as it is about Tay, how lucky he is to have a brother like Gabe. Like,
yeah, he is so true.
You know, like you just meet certain people that you're just like, oh, my God, this person's just a gem, you know? Price.
But then you look at like the Duplass brothers, right? Who are so codependent. The relationship is so codependent that they had to break up, literally break up like a relationship and be away from each other, you know?
That's amazing.
It's been, it is interesting. It's also like how many siblings actually work together. Mm. We've interviewed, especially comedians. How about you guys? Do you guys ever work together?
We have,
but it's been sort of like at a distance, you know, like if I'm doing a job and there's a role for like a brother or sibling, you know, I'll say, hey, Josh, he's not, you know, he has another career and he does something completely different. But I'll say, hey, do you, you know, want to audition? And I did a TV show. I kind of took a break for like about 10 years, and I did this TV show just to see if I liked it again. And then Josh auditioned and we got to like be brother and sister on camera, and it was
fun.
So we've done that. Fun. But it's more like I think the stakes are different when you're choosing to build something together or when it's your bread and butter, right? Or
yeah.
For us, it was just more like it was kind of both of our side hustle. And it was just fun that we got to do it.
Together. Josh, what do you do? What's your main gig?
My main gig is basically in real estate. So I work for I do real estate, residential real estate, but I also work for a company that we do wireless telecommunications. So like T-Mobile, Verizon, AT&T. Those
but
are
what
like
is it big. That you, what is your day to day?
Well, it's kind of hard to say. Like, so we literally, this is like, we literally do everything but build the site. Okay. So we negotiate the leases. We find the
but
property.
But no one knows what that means. So you know the cell phone towers that look like trees?
Yes. Yeah,
that's what I do.
He oversees the building of cell phone towers that look like trees so people get service.
All the permitting for it.
Everything. So having to deal with the city and all of the unions and getting those things built so we could have fast internet and wireless
So we can
service.
Do what we're doing right now.
That's right. Right. So we have you to
so
thank,
you're basically
man.
Yes. responsible
so that's
for
what
this.
He does. Yeah. You're He's a like a project provider. Manager right. on cell phone towers that look like trees. Yeah.
And they don't know. They're on buildings too, so they're all over the place. But yeah, that's basically it.
But like, it's such a yeah. specific thing, right? It's like, when he told me what he told me, I was like, that's amazing. I didn't even think about there needs to be somebody in charge of that. I just see them and I'm like, wait.
How did
that's
that
like
get there?
That's a very different looking tree. Oh, wait, that's a freaking cell phone tower.
And it's fun when I see a site built and I'm like, I did that. Like I negotiated yeah. that lease. I
that must be so satisfying.
I was a part of that yes. design.
Hell yeah. I was yeah, you a take part ownership.
Of yeah, because we do water tanks. We do fake water tanks. We do all these other things. And I'm like, man, that looks
I actually want to know about that. I've always wondered about that as far as the design of these trees or these sort of water tanks or whatever it is to disguise the cell tower. Who comes up with that design? How is that implemented?
What?
You do.
You basically, come up?
Basically. So.
Do they get a menu so of what, like, it could so, look like this?
Yeah. So
it
basically could look what like we that. Do is we go to the city and we're like, okay, what does the city allow in this area? Do they allow trees? Do they allow tanks? Do they allow blah, blah, blah? And then you look at what's available. And then you go to your architect and you're like, hey, I want you to build this kind of thing for us here. And then you kind of so
at
you
this
give
price.
Them you give them the foundation and they obviously I'm not an architect so I don't do all that. I know how to read all the plans and everything, but basically it's we're a part of the design
creating
and
that
how it works. Yeah.
By the way, you know what would be interesting is to create art pieces around it, meaning like make it artistic instead of just a tree trying to blend in. Do something in a creative space that is an actual cell tower but is artistry.
So they in Venice, you're required to do some sort of the city requires you to do some sort of architectural design that has some kind of artistic.
So you could hire like an artist that does Israel cool. with Alex Israel. Wouldn't that be funny?
Exactly.
That's amazing.
All of the cell phone towers.
So that's incredible.
I never even thought of that. So look at you, Ollie, just being all creative and stuff.
Well, I don't know if you guys been to Santa Monica. I'm sure you guys have seen in Santa Monica, there's like utility boxes and they're painted like with flowers. Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, there's that as well that they do, especially if it's in the public right away and people can
see it and interact
it.
Yeah. with it. Yeah.
Mm. Cool.
Sakara.
I love you. It's summertime. It's easy to get indulgent. It's easy to drink. It's easy to eat. It's easy to get off track. And we love it. I get it. But let's get back on track. Let's stay healthy. Sakara is the great way to do that.
Sakara is actually one of my favorite food delivery systems. If you want to change your diet, it's great. If you don't want to change your diet, if you know what you like and you still just want to eat healthy and have it be simple, it's also great. So they've been very clever about how they formulate it. It's not about restricting for them. It's about what you're eating. So it's all very nourishing foods.
They're organic, ready-to-eat meals. They're made with powerful plant-based ingredients. They're designed to boost your energy, improve your digestion, get your skin glowing, which for me, you know, I've been in the sun all my life, so I'm a wrinkly mess. But honestly, with Sakara, it's helped my gut, which has helped my skin. They offer also these daily wellness essentials. So it's not just food. There's supplements. There's herbal teas that help support your nutrition.
They've got this metabolism super powder, which is really amazing. It's made with organic rock cacao. It works to boost your energy. It eliminates bloating, which unfortunately I have, and it minimizes your sugar cravings. So right now, Saqqara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to saqqara.com/sibling or enter code sibling at checkout. That's Saqqara, SAKARA.com/sibling to get 20% off your first order, saqqara.com/sibling. Life is short with Justin Long. Now, I've known Justin for some time now. He's a good man. He's a compassionate man. He's a funny man. He's an inquisitive man. He is all of these things. Listen to his podcast and you will experience Justin Long the way that I have experienced him throughout my life.
Justin talks with celebrities, musicians, actors, and artists about how they get the most out of life. Each episode goes beyond what you'd expect to hear on an interview show. Some of these stories you'd never expect, like when Jon Bon Jovi shared that his mom wanted to crawl under the seats after his performance in a local talent show because it was so horrible. But don't worry, he also asks hard-hitting questions like, if you could have one snack food for the rest of your life, what would it be? And what is your most commonly used emoji? For anyone wondering, my go-to is the dancer lady.
My go-to is the eggplant. Not for why you think that. I love eggplant. So listen to the latest episode of Life is Short with Justin Long on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or you can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Wondery, feel the story.
You guys moved in with your grandparents. What was your mom and dad doing when you moved in with the grandparents? Was your dad still in the Army?
No, he was in the Air Force. And then he got out and he was trying to figure out sort of what he wanted to do. And he partnered with his friend at the time to start like a mortgage and real estate.
Well, first he was with the Kelly.
Oh, right.
He was with a super.
He was a sales guy for grocery.
Remember like Hanson drinks and stuff
Hanson
like that?
Hanson drinks. Oh, yeah. And course, Tiger milk bars.
Like back in the day, yeah.
So he would go to the shelves of grocery stores and they gave him like a, we got a new car. Remember it was the, like a Subaru, like a hatchback. And he would go around and he'd fill up the car with like product that was damaged. So we had like a grip of Hanson sodas.
Tiger milk.
And Tiger milk bars.
Love Carnation Tiger milk instant bars.
Breakfast. That's probably how I got. Tiger milk bars were everything.
I remember that. That's so weird. So he did that for a bit and then decided.
Hated it.
Yeah, he hated it. He didn't want to work for somebody. He wanted to be independent. So then he started a business with
mortgage and real estate.
Mortgage and real estate. He still does that today. Same thing.
Your grandparents, did they like watch you basically? Were they really hands-on?
Yeah. Yeah. My grandma. Yeah. She like helped raise us. Cause then my mom was, you know, what didn't she do? She was like managing clothing stores, movie theaters. She worked as a bartender. She had many jobs.
And when you started acting, Josh, did you start acting?
Yeah. So I actually started modeling. My mom actually forced me to get into it when she started and like got me headshots and all this stuff. I'm like, and I was so not confident because I was a chubby little fat guy. I was like, nobody wants to see it. You know, like,
why do you use that word? I mean, you were just,
what?
You were just growing and
anyway, I have pictures. That's true. Anyway, so I was done with it. I literally, it was taking me away from sports. Like I was going on auditions. I'm like, I don't want to do this. And so I did not. I was having a good time just going to her sets and stuff like that, you know, and just being on the sidelines. And then when I was 16, I started modeling, and that's kind of how it started. So I was making some decent money modeling, and 17, 18, I got a couple commercials, And then
see, I never got any work modeling or commercials. They said I was too moody and I like didn't have the face and all the things. I was moody.
What?
Yeah. I didn't smile enough. I wasn't outgoing enough. He got everything that doors open for him that were always closed for me. Because I was like angsty teenager. Like Daria was like my
Oh my God. That's so funny.
But then yeah.
And then we actually did a show when I was 19, Dark Angel.
Yeah.
So
he was one of the sibling type characters, like genetically engineered.
Yeah.
And he was in a couple episodes.
But yeah.
And then
big
I was
show.
Like, you know what? I'm a dive all in. And then I ended up going to New York for like a 6-week intensive class as a David Mamet
acting school.
Acting school, and I loved it. And I just started. I actually ended up falling in love with it. Sports was kind of already done with my life at that point. And so I was like, all right, let's do this. And was doing a couple things. I was doing a lot of commercials and then a lot of like just independent things. And then I was like, then I had my son and then, you know, I got married, had my son. I'm like, you know what? I gave my wife gave me an ultimatum saying, you know, if you don't make it by this point, we got to move on. And I actually booked a soap. And I was ready to go. Actually, they were gonna move it in New York, and last minute it got nixed. I was like, "All right, well, I got to do something else." And I was doing real estate right when I got out of high school. I got my real estate license because of my dad, and so I was doing that at the same time. So it was kind of keeping me afloat. And then that tanked, and then SAG went on strike at the same time, and so I didn't know what to do. And so one of my clients actually worked in the wireless industry that I was doing a loan for. And he's like, hey, I work for T-Mobile. We need somebody in our leasing department, you know, with a real estate license, reviewing leases and stuff like that. And so I haven't really looked back since.
Well, it sounds like you really fell in love with being an actor. I mean, does that love just go away? Or are you,
no.
I mean, yeah, where are you at with that? I mean, is there still a place for you to go pursue something that you love?
Of course.
I would hope so. I mean, I definitely haven't completely given it up, obviously.
Okay.
I did the show with my sister and I auditioned and I got it and they loved me. And
they did. I mean, I said, because I'm tough, I'm like, do not give it to him. Like,
if
you guys think he's the best, but don't even tell anyone that he's my brother or nothing. Mm-hmm. Just like make it just totally fair. He either gets it or he doesn't. You guys like him or you don't. And they actually said, you know, we kind of hate that he's the best one. And we hate because it could, you know, be a liability. And like, what if it doesn't work out? And then we'd feel weird with you if we have to write him off the show right away, if it's blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't care. He doesn't care either. He has another job. Like he has a job. This is just fun for him. It's a passion. Same for me, you know, like, and so he actually got it.
I'm trying to change this around to see, like, honestly, like how Oliver would feel in that position. And it would be terrible. Like, if they wanted to write him off, I'd be like, this is devastating.
No, she's heartless, by the way. She doesn't care. She will be like, get him out of here. But you know what? We kind of
I just feel like you either like are it or you're not, and we shouldn't bullshit around here.
Correct.
And don't do me any favors.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
I don't like owing people something. Like,
I'm a big believer in the right person gets the job for the right reasons. You know, you can't like this, the whole competitive nature of the business, which is real. To me has always felt bizarre because it's like, you're only going to get the part if you're right for the part, you know?
Like, yeah. And I feel like I've always felt this way, if they want me, they definitely don't want someone else. Cause I never looked like any of those girls that was ever auditioning for anything. You know, like I was always coming out of left field. Like they didn't really know what to do with me in a room. And so I was like, if you want
me, they just knew they wanted you.
Yeah. You either want me or you don't. And if you want someone else, then great. You know, next, moving on. I never took it personally, and I never really felt competitive because, like you said, like if it's right for you to do it, then really no one else should do it, and it'll just that will happen.
It's funny that you're saying this Because a couple of us started doing businesses before. It wasn't necessarily the hip thing to do if you were an actor, you know, that you were going to like become a co-founder of a business and start something. Mm-hmm. It was sort of like just a different kind of way of thinking. And the fact that you're saying that you didn't take that part of the industry personally is probably a good indication of someone who would be okay. Their ego would always be okay doing other things, you know? Mm-hmm. Which probably does lead to the success.
I think the mental health aspect of that too is huge. What you said, because when I used to go to in acting classes, I would have guys that would be like, "This is everything. I can't do anything else. This is like," I'm like, "Dude, if this is defining you, man, you're gonna be a sad person, you know." Mm-hmm. But so you know, and you have that, and you have those people, and you know, I just feel bad. Because it's, you know, there's so much more out there.
Yeah, and I think like what you're saying is interesting, because I think people's identity, Josh and Kate, like people's identity is certainly attached to sort of like their profession in a lot of ways, because in our society, in our culture, in the United States, like we live to work. Where I think in other cultures that are more advanced or certainly been around longer, they work to live. And because we try to get so much out of work, life fulfillment and mental and personal and heart fulfillment out of work, we then put too much on it and it's tied too much to our identity. And in entertainment, it's really awful because it's always like, the girlfriend or the boyfriend that's has one foot out the door and is never really going to like be that into you.
Right.
And
it's
is never,
never
really
it's
gonna
never a safe relationship.
No, it's not safe. Mm-hmm. And you can never close the deal, actually, because it's I don't know why we do it. It definitely can make you feel really wild, because no matter how much you bring to the table, no matter how good you are, no matter how accomplished you are, it's still constantly telling you that you'll never be good enough in somebody's eyes.
I think that I always say if you choose to be an actor, if it's something you really love, you're like you're a little crazy.
And you like pain.
Oh yeah, it's very incredibly masochistic.
And you like to be emotionally
distraught.
In pain and distraught and feel really bad about yourself.
Yeah. So true. It's like, you know, you're never going to have full, you know, adoration and validation. It's always, you know, it's always criticism. It's always everyone's always skeptical. Like you never get that. You know, there are moments that feel victorious.
But the second you get comfortable, they're on to the next one. What the hell?
Yeah, like, and you're like, I want to go back for more.
It's a one-sided love. It's very much like children. They'll never love you as much as you love them. Mm-hmm. They'll never be as into you. You get moments where they like pretend like, you know, you matter to them a lot, usually when they're younger. And then once their hormones start and they see that, you know, and they start getting their swag and they start thinking on their own, like they'll never love you like you love them. It's a one-sided relationship. It's fucking terrible. Hollywood's the same way.
I know. It's true.
You'll never get back what you put in. That's for sure.
You guys feel super like a very level-headed family. I wonder, your mom and your dad, like the stability of that relationship, even
or
though
instability.
Like, oh, I was gonna say, like whatever that is. I was gonna say,
no, they'll kill us. They're still together. It's a marathon.
It is, but I mean, I don't even know if I want to be on a marathon like that. You know what I mean? Like,
my brother actually married his high school girlfriend.
Wow!
Oh wow!
His only girlfriend, and that's who he's still married to.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
with no breaks.
Never. We our senior year.
He's only had one person in his life ever.
Yeah, one girlfriend, whatever. I mean, I
did you kiss any other girls?
Get out of here!
What?
Get out of here.
What? I don't even know, Josh.
I have only ever been with Danny. Danny is the only man I've ever been with.
Times 68.
So I never had a girlfriend, but I dated through my senior year in high school. And then my senior year in high school, I got to...
But didn't you go to like Sadie Hawkins or something with Nikki when you guys were like in sophomore?
When we were sophomores, I went to a dance with her. Yeah. And I didn't know who she was before that. And then we went to a dance.
You just went with a stranger? You were like 15.
She asked
you?
She asked somebody to ask me to ask her, so I did. Oh, I didn't know. That's what you do in high school. I don't know.
That's how it goes.
But just even a quick question on that. Like how is that? I mean, you know, you're satiated, you're content. I mean, obviously this is your woman, this is your life.
Yeah.
Do you ever look back, not that you would ever really admit this, you know, on a podcast,
but
do you ever look back and think, man,
I
wish I could have or should have, or even for her, on her end of things as well.
Yeah, I'll tell you the honest to God truth. I fall more in love with her every freaking day. Like, she's amazing.
Love
like,
that, dude.
And that's not like, I've never thought that I didn't want to, don't get me wrong. We have moments of just I don't want to be next to you, you know, for about a week or so.
Beautiful.
She's mine. I'm hers. You know, like it's, I don't know. It's to me, it's super romantic and beautiful. And, again, she's the only person I've ever slept with and I'm the only person she's ever slept with. So like, that's what we have. And like, we can, you know what I mean? Like no one can take that away from us. So
amazing, dude.
Yeah. Oh, and I would like to think that she thinks the same way.
I might cry.
I'm gonna cry.
Right now.
I'm
the opposite.
Greatest. Yeah, me too.
No, I mean, look.
Whatever the opposite is, that's me.
God.
Hey.
Although I was like, Cash's like, you're a prude. And I was like, yeah, so what? But I definitely am like, God damn it. Is this the rest of my mother F life? Like, are we really doing this? And I'm looking up 17 years with this fool.
Listen,
and he's looking at my face. And we are like, we're in it to win it. And I have to say, like, at around having Hayes time, because he was the only kid we actually planned. The other two were like, oh, here we go. And since then, I actually have fallen more in love with Cash.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Since Hazy Boo. And I don't know if it's just my own maturity. Like, I'm really like ready. I've moved into this more content, more confident, more in my own, feeling really present. And so then that allows me to be more present in my relationship with him. So I don't know, but.
Oh, that makes me so
happy. I'm 20 years in. It's the best it's ever been. It's just about vulnerability. It's about being open and honest and just not holding anything back. And I've had an amazing wife who's gone on this journey with me and my insanity and all of my faults and slip-ups and fuck-ups. I think we're living in a society now that is so easy. All we want to do is say, oh, you are bad? You're fucking out. Rather than... saying, wait a minute, let's go 30,000 feet. Let's look at the big picture. What is our life? Who are you internally? What is your heart? You know, you are not your actions. Your actions are maybe symptomatic of something. Mm-hmm. And if she wasn't the woman that she is and saw me in my rawest spiritual self, we would never be where we are. And it's only because of her that we are where we are.
1,000%. You got so lucky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did.
Oh, my God.
Really
I mean,
did.
You. I couldn't have asked for a better sister-in-law. And what she has given you, like, talk about the purest love. Like, she chose to believe in you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly.
And that, and she was right to do that.
Yeah.
You know, because you guys had that. You had that
she
moment.
She made a good bet, you know? It was a risky one, but she made a good bet.
But I think you're right, Ollie. I think vulnerability is so key. As we get older, you kind of have to ask yourself. And it goes the other way, too, because I think sometimes people get vulnerable and realize they might have been forcing something that's not real for them or good for them, right. You know? Yeah.
I also think that you both have to sign up every day to be in it. And I think, you know, there are, like you said, there are actions that you may take that you do that are self-destructive. And it's almost, it's more that, I would say, than even how you see or how you feel about the other person. And if someone can see past your self-destruction and, like you said, see the 30,000 feet sort of like version of a life that you could build together and go back to that, like, hey, do we still want to do this? Do we want to show up for each other every day? Then we're both in, then you're gonna figure it out. Mm-hmm.
Hair story, story about hair. I've got a hair story, a story about hair.
I tried the product, I loved it. I was like, Allison, yes, let's work with Hair Story. It turns out it's my sister-in-law's father, which is crazy. But he's such a genius. I love this product. He was the founder of Bumble and Bumble. And with the help of a team of hair industry vets with over 50 years of experience, they came up with amazing products. They created a line of hair products that will leave your hair clean, shiny, and healthier, forcing you to leave behind your shampoo. No more shampoo. This is a new wash. Hair Story's new wash is a sulfate detergent and shampoo-free hair cleanser. It's natural ingredients, so it never strips away your hair's protective barrier, and it only removes excess oil and dirt, not the good stuff that keeps your hair hydrated.
I have tried this, and this works. I really dig this a lot. It replaces shampoo and conditioner, and plus most of your other hair products, like these deep conditioners, these masks, these detanglers.
I love this product, and Ollie?
Check out Hair Story at hairstory.com and use our promo code SIBLING to get 15% off your first purchase. That's HAIRSTORY.com and use our code SIBLING to get 15% off hairstory.com. I'm very excited about this, Katie. Faherty. It's a clothing company. It's a clothing brand that I have been personally wearing for a long ass time now. No shit, this is one of my favorite clothing brands ever. You know this, Kate. You know this because you've actually bought me a bunch of beautiful pieces from Faherty. It is my vibe.
It's all about functionality. They were founded by twin brothers. We are a Faherty kind of family.
It is essential. It's essential. They're essential clothes for me. I swear to God to you guys, I have, I don't know, in my closet right now in Colorado, if you went through it, honestly, 48% is probably Faherty clothing.
If you're searching for the summer outfit, the ideal one, that set, the shirt, that dress that feels like you've had them for years, feels like super comfortable, cool print, fits perfectly, and it's almost so good it should probably be vintage. That's their vibe.
Gotta go check it out. I mean, it's just, it is the shit. Sorry, I'm cursing so much. I'm wearing Faherty as we speak, you guys. And they're so confident in the quality of their stuff. They have a lifetime guarantee of quality. They'll replace or fix your clothes forever, no matter what. And to top it all off, Faherty is going to give all of our listeners 20% off. 20% off. So stock up on your clothes for summer now. Head to FahertyBrand.com and use code SIBLING at checkout to snag 20% off all of your summer gear. That's code SIBLING at Faherty, F-A-H-E-R-T-Y brand.com for 20% off.
Do you guys talk about your relationships with your significant others? Is that part of your brother-sister relationship at all?
I mean, feel like we've had some pretty
good conversations,
yeah.
For the most part, I think everybody in our family feels like anyone who would put up with me, like I'm lucky. Put up with my ass.
Well, also, Jess, you're so open too. Like, you do openly talk about things. But I would think that that comes from your whole family being pretty open.
Yeah, and I think it's also, I think I started to study people and be an actor and try and fall into the shoes and the mental of someone else's experience, because I'm trying to figure out human behavior. And so when I talk about it, it's also just me trying to figure it all out, because I've always felt like such an alien in my family and so different. And I was like, how was I even born in around these people? Because we are so different. And I always felt like an outcast, and I did not feel connected.
I don't know how, because my grandma was an actress and a dancer and an artist. My grandpa was. They were all musicians and artists.
I know, I don't know. I just never felt like the rules that the family cares about, those rules just didn't make sense to me. I always felt like, don't do it just because people, that's what's been done before.
What rules? What kind of rules? Well, like actual rules?
Yeah, like real rules. Like it's like Catholic, like Mexican, right. Like very traditional, like machismo, like men rule the house, and very like classic that. And I just was like, fuck that. And I just never wanted that. And I didn't want to sign up for it.
So cash doesn't rule the house?
No, that's probably why they butt heads so much. They're too like alpha.
We're both alpha. He makes space for me and I make space for him, and we go back and forth in it. But yeah, like it's a lot, I think, to have two very strong-willed people that have very specific ideas about how things should be done, mm-hmm. and to like coexist. And then also,
sometimes Jessica doesn't believe that there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Mm. I'm learning, Josh. Okay, I'm learning.
Does that sound familiar, Oliver? I feel like if you wanted to really know how to skin a cat, you'd go to me and Jessica. I'm just saying.
What you just said is a perfect example.
I couldn't disagree more. I mean, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat.
Guys, let's be honest. I don't want to skin a cat. This sounds terrible.
That's gross. The visual.
Like right now in your guys' life, do you feel like where are we at? One, as like siblings, and two, just individually, are we in a place of contentment? Are we in a place of transition? Like we're in interesting ages too. So like, where are you guys at as a sibling relationship and individually?
Why do I have to go first?
Okay, I'll go first. For me, like honestly, for us.
When are you not content is all I have to say. Content. He's always happy. Yeah, he's always content. He loves his life.
But I feel like our love is...
He's pretty happy with all of his choices since day one.
No, but I mean, I feel like we've been growing. We grow every year. I mean, I feel like our relationship grows. We have, you know, she'll call me out of nowhere and we'll have like an hour conversation out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Which, you know,
Josh had a pretty bad health scare with COVID.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's still, I mean, I'm what you call a long hauler. So honestly, I was going to warn you before we had this thing, because sometimes I just go blank. I have that brain fog. Like I literally can't find the words that I want to say a lot of times.
Really?
Wow.
And I do a lot of meetings, so it's frustrating. So I have to like warn when I go to like cities, I basically have to warn them. Like if I pause for a little while, I can't control it. Like, it's just, it is what it is. And so, you know, so it doesn't get awkward or embarrassing. I just kind of lay it out there. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's been going pretty good right now. So I don't
know. Yeah, good. Don't jinx it. Yeah. But he had, I mean, do you want to tell him what happened or no?
I mean, it hit our family, and it hit me extremely.
Well, just tell him what happened on Christmas.
Oh, well, that's, so I had COVID, right? And it lasted about 3 weeks, and I had it pretty bad. I had every symptom. I had symptoms that I didn't know were symptoms. I looked it up, and I'm like, oh, crap, this is a symptom. And it was
stuff
that—
Well, you were also in the belief of, like, God, you know, wouldn't give me something I couldn't handle, and maybe you weren't, like, the most safe.
I don't know about that. She assumes a lot. I think she assumes a lot about me, but no. But I think it's because I'm so easygoing that everyone thinks I'm just like, God's got this. Of course God's got this.
Well, that's what you say.
But, you know, if there's Advil in front of me and I'm like, I have a headache, God's like, take the dang Advil. You know what I mean?
Or like, God is not trying to do all of that because you're not a puppet and there's something called free will. Well, anyway.
Anyways, so back to the COVID. So I got COVID pretty bad, and I went to the emergency room a couple times. Get to the point, Christmas morning, I had it. It stopped at the end of November. Christmas morning, it was like 6:30 in the morning. We were opening up gifts with my kids. And I said, Nikki, I'm about to pass out. And then I literally just fell over on the couch and started having seizures.
He had a massive heart attack. And he was out for like 26 minutes.
No.
Unconscious. Yeah.
So I was out with seizures, and they were
convulsing.
My son called the 911. My daughter got the neighbor. My wife was, you know, tending to me. And I finally came to when I was getting out of the ambulance at the hospital, which is, they said, is like, that doesn't have, like, you know, you shouldn't be out.
He
for
was
that
out
long,
too long.
Kind of
and
thing. So
but that
they
was
found,
like.
They found pulmonary embolisms in my chest. So that's what it is. And I still have them. I take blood thinners for now. It and stuff like that. And it's messed me up. Like, honestly, I've been a mess, like, since Christmas.
PTSD.
I'm real. Yeah. I'm so sorry to hear this.
So, like, that, terrible. I think, for me, it, like, made our relationship feel so. You like immediately go into nothing else matters in life than making sure that we have time.
Mm. Yeah.
It just felt so, like, life instantly felt so fragile and so.
Because I don't know if I should be, you know, I know I should
be
here, but.
The doctors don't know how he is here. So. It's just like, it just puts so much into perspective. So any kind of like differences that we have or had in the way that we think and exist in the world, we couldn't be more opposite in I would say pretty much everything. Where we bond is, you know, us talking about how mom and dad are crazy and we love them. And that's, you know, where we land. But we're very opposite in a lot of ways. And I think this experience has brought us together in a way where you're just like, I just want time with you. And I don't know how to create more time with you, but we don't know if we have tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
Wow, it's that. I mean, are you speaking generally or are you speaking specifically with your brother? Like, you don't know if you have tomorrow.
I think specifically with my brother, but then my grandfather who helped raise us just passed away. And it really was, you know, from COVID as well. And everything just feels really fragile. Mm. Everything feels really delicate and fragile. And I guess, you know, there are a lot of things in life that I always cared about and that I put as a priority, but ultimately, we only have the moment that we're in today and just try to be completely present in this moment. So that's where I'm at. I would say, is that a transition or content? It's both, right? It feels like it's both.
Yeah, and I think it's about like not being that person that's going to learn from a lesson that we already know, like, you know, not waiting, you know, too long. Like, for example, with us, like, you know, people that didn't say hi, didn't say goodbye to their parents and they passed away. Like, I wish I would have been there. I wish I would have done this.
It's like, we have eyes wide open that tomorrow isn't sure. And so if we're not living completely in the present moment of now and making the most of it, then what the hell are we doing? You know?
Do you feel like there's been a shift in your relationship after this, just as far as what you're talking about, meaning, wow, we need to be closer. We need to be more in each other's lives. We need to talk more.
We haven't cracked it yet. Yeah. We haven't figured out what that consistency is, but we definitely talk about it.
Yeah. All right. Because our schedules are just so insane.
Because the kids,
we don't live that close.
We don't live close to each other.
An hour from each other, 45.
You know, and his kids do all, you know, so many activities on the weekends, and that's my time to not do things. And then I work, you know, and it's just hard when you have kids and work and all of that.
I always say the kid era, like when you've got kids at home and you're just parenting all the time, is the hardest time. And it's hard to do everything that you want. It's just all about the kids, you know?
Yeah. It really is all about that. It becomes.
And they're narcissists. So they are really like, why isn't it all about me all the damn time? Like, what are you even doing? We didn't ask to be here, mom and dad. You know? So you have to like consider that as well. I don't know. So yeah, I would say that changed our dynamic. I haven't, you know, I like to fix things and I like things to be immediate and I like to have answers. So I wish I would have cracked how we're going to see each other more consistently better. But I haven't cracked it yet.
It's interesting because it seems easy. You know, we can always make time. But I guess it's not as easy as it seems, you know.
Well, even you guys live down the street from each other, and you're like, when do we even get together for dinner?
We live like an hour
and a half, 2 hours away in traffic. And so like both ways, that's like 3 hours of driving just to like see each other.
Oh God. If I was near death, Kate would still be going to Greece and Sardinia, you know?
Oh my God.
Coors Light. Ooh.
Ollie, you're in the Rockies.
Yeah, I'm actually in the birthplace of Coors Light, and I am not currently drinking one, but in about 38 minutes, once I'm done doing this, I will be drinking an ice-cold Coors Light.
Summer always feels like the shortest season, but when you need to make the most of it, you just need to chill. Just have a Coors Light. Ollie, that's exactly what you're doing.
Coors Light is the official beer of slowing down summer. Because as the beer that's made to chill, we want you to savor every second of summer. So when you need to slow down, just open up a Coors Light, listen to my voice. It's mountain cold refreshing, made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and as refreshing as the Colorado Rockies themselves. It's perfect for a moment to unwind this summer. Get Coors Light summer packaging straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right, well, listen, let's do some of these fun questions. Like, who's the stricter parent?
I'm stricter. You just have more weird, like, God rules, but...
I'm more just like, the only thing I'm strict is really mainly with my son, because he wants to be a college athlete. So I'm strict with him.
What it takes to get to that level.
Getting, you know, taking your supplement, eating and getting ready. If you really want to do this, I'm here for you. But like, so I'm strict with him with that stuff. But I let them do, they have so much freedom.
They do.
In our house. I mean, he goes to his friend, they spend the night at friends' houses all the time. I mean, I trust them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's definitely, if I'm strict at anything, it's when it comes to his athletics. And that's pretty much.
So, going back, because I got to touch on this, the whole God thing, it seems like there's a divide, right? I mean, we have one very religious, and then Jessica, you're sort of, where are you at with that?
I believe in God. I just don't subscribe to a certain notion or idea of one specific type of belief.
Right.
When it comes to like religious practices, I think that it should be personal. And and I believe that I make space for all of it to exist. Mm-hmm. And I think whatever's right for you, I would say from a judgmental standpoint, you believe that way in a lot of ways, Josh, but you also have the bend of the born again Christian thing.
I'm definitely not religious. I'll say that.
But it is.
Mine is more relational. Well, to me, it's a relationship because it's a
right,
real thing.
But it's not,
you know, I don't have to go to church to feel like I'm doing something good, or I don't have to obtain something to do this. You know, like I do it because I love it, because I love God, because I love God. So just like a parent, like a kid, like my son loves me so much. He's going to get good grades because he wants to make us proud. It's the same exact concept. I love God so
my
much.
My kids get good so grades much, because I'll take away their electronics.
but you know my point.
I get it. But you guys seem to be accepting, though, right?
I feel like I'm the most accepting person around. So I don't
lies.
Know. Like, I'm, huh?
Lies. Lies.
Who do I literally?
Josh, do you ever look at Jessica in the way that she lives and pass any judgments on the way that she does things based on God and how she should, what her relationship should be to God?
I never make judgments. No.
You do not.
No. Do I agree with some things? Is that counting as a judge? I mean, do I agree with some things? My best friend, I don't agree with some things that he does. I don't agree with some things my wife does. So like it's—
there is a little bit of a judgment in—
she judges me more than anybody.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. She judges the crap out of me. But what she doesn't understand is if she just calls me, she'd probably find out that like I didn't say this or I didn't think this way or whatever the case may be. But she judges me definitely.
Well, we gotta dive into that for a second. The judgments that Jessica is passing on you. Like what are we talking about here?
It's a good question. Why do you judge me so much?
I don't judge you so much. I just think that the more open, curious, educated you are, then you will have a more well-rounded point of view. And sometimes I think you believe very narrowly that God will tell you what God wants you to believe. And I think that that's very narrow. I think that you have to own life experience and you have to know that you have the agency to experience life and not be so judgmental of choices. And also that there's probably different ways that people can experience life. And I know what works for you works for you, but I think sometimes when you are so focused on a certain religious belief, it can feel really narrow in your understanding of the world and relationships and journey and this life. Mm-hmm. So that's all. That's to me, just sometimes it feels really narrow. And I know you're smarter than that. And I know you're better than that, than just being so narrow. And so that's where my judgment comes in.
Well, I guess it comes down to this, Josh. Do you believe that your sister's going to burn in hell?
I don't believe that. See, that's a great question. And the answer is I would never ever think anybody's going to burn in hell, because I wouldn't pass that judgment. That's not for me to do. That's on God. God can do whatever he wants. He's God.
So why he?
I don't believe that. Okay, whatever. So there's another thing that we disagree on. Okay, I mean,
it's okay. You know,
I love people no matter how I see them, no matter what they're doing, how I see them. I love people, right? Because that's just my nature. It's my character. It's who I am. On the other end, like she, like I feel like she judges me more than I've ever judged anyone. So,
but I don't love people differently. I just think that sometimes people who subscribe to a very specific idea of religion just feels too narrow, and it doesn't sound intelligent.
So
it just sounds kind of dumb.
So then that's a judgment that you're making that I don't make on anyone.
No, I know, but I just think that like that to me is like, I think everyone should.
You're judging people that think that way, and you're not giving them any sort of.
Yeah.
I think instinctively, naturally, we just judge. That's just who we are. I mean, we're constantly passing judgments on each other, but when it gets toxic and it turns into anger or hate, you know, yeah, that's not good. Absolutely. But if you're making an observation or a judgment can be the same thing.
I think part of what's challenging always about these conversations is that this is the source of many wars, whether it be personal or whether it be countries and
it's happening,
you know,
now.
Property.
And it's been happening, right?
And and there's this great quote that I love, and it's his name's Gregory Roberts. He wrote this amazing book, Chantron, one of my favorite books ever.
Oh, it's so good.
And he says, guns do not serve God. And I thought, like, that's such a great, like, if you could even use a gun as, like, sort of a metaphor, right, of, like, protection. And, like, when you really think about what God is, like, God encompasses and should encompass all. God really does have no judgment. God doesn't have favorites. It's sad that everyone's God, whoever that is, can't coexist in ways that just are. Because to me, God is everywhere with everybody. Like, it just, so, you know, I think that's why these conversations can always be so
difficult, because you're right. Like, a lot of people who have a narrow understanding of what God is to them feel like such ownership over that it doesn't make space for God to exist for other people in their own way. And sometimes that narrow understanding of that personal relationship can put boundaries on God's love, because God's love is actually for all and wins in the end. And is all goodness, all love, all light. It's all the good in the world.
And there's different manifestations of what God is to different people. God is just simply a word. Who are we to say that the Maasai warrior tribes and whatever they feel God is any better or worse than the sort of Christian, you know, Judeo
or
God or any religion? It doesn't make sense to me. That's why religion feels elitist in a way, because who are you to say that he's right, you're right, and they're wrong? I mean,
that's more my mentality around it. Is just like, I feel like God is so much bigger than an individual's understanding of that relationship, and it feels all encompassing. And that's all. And that's, to me, I think whenever I get a little bit frustrated in some of our conversations, Josh, is I just hope that you're, sometimes what you say comes off really narrow, when actually I know you believe that God is love and God is all that is good. And it's not as narrow as sometimes it comes off, because, you know, you really believe in the purity of God's love.
You know, when you have these moments where, like, you walk into a holy building or a church or a place where that holds space for prayer or collective faith, and that feeling that you kind of like, that at least I get this, where it sort of wraps around you, you know? People talk to me about wellness all the time. I think the biggest thing missing in wellness is faith. And people who have faith like you, Josh, that is really, you know, you might say it's, Jess, you might say it feels narrow, but I envy it, because a part of me wishes sometimes that I had that type of faith in something.
Oh, God,
in something,
me too. I wouldn't be having anxiety attacks like right now.
When I walk into a holy space, I do feel like held. And people who have that, I just look at that and I go, it must bring such a wonderful sense of safety and security that is a beautiful thing. And
yeah, and honestly, I think what really what opens it up for me is I believe in the real Jesus. I don't believe in the white, like, it's when I say white Jesus, I'm talking about all these photos of Jesus you know, like the pictures that people predict, like showed of Jesus being white and whatever, like that's not Jesus. That was never Jesus. We all know Jesus wasn't white. And it actually irritates me, churches that push that or whatever. So to me, I believe in the true Jesus, and that is what's fulfilling. And that's what opens up.
But for you, I think,
and that's why I love it. Like, I honestly, this, whatever, for being so narrow, it's crazy how much I love everyone. So I guess I'll take the narrowness.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. It's just like, I just feel like, even though sometimes some of the things you say feel really narrow, I know that ultimately you are part, you understand the bigger love that we're talking about, that everyone can participate in no matter where you're from. Mm-hmm. So that's all.
Well, I love you guys. This is an amazing, amazing conversation. Honestly,
this is what a great conversation.
Let's do a couple quick speed rounds. One word to describe each other.
Stubborn.
Prideful. I was going to say stubborn too. You think I'm stubborn?
Shh, go. Right,
okay. Who's better at telling stories?
Me. You.
Jessica. Yeah. I carry on. I'm interested
in this one for Josh. What's the first celebrity crush?
Oh, Jessica Biel.
Oh. Really? Oh yeah. We were little.
Good one.
What about you, Jess?
What about you, Jess?
She lived with us for a little bit. So I was like, what's happening right now?
Probably Johnny Depp or something.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Me too.
Who was the tattletale?
He was a tattletale.
Yeah. She also loved to get me in trouble too. But yes, I would probably.
I got my ass beat all the time for this foolish.
I caught her smoking one time. Jessica's smoking. I caught her doing something. Jessica's doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about first concert?
Ooh. New Kids on the Block.
For you.
What's yours? Didn't you go with us?
Mm-mm. Oh. Man. I don't even know. It was Up in Smoke tour. No, not Up and Smoke. It was a Power 106. She took me to the Power 106 summer jam or whatever the heck. Right.
Of course I did. Yeah. Of course I did.
When I was 16, that was my first concert.
Amazing.
I love hip hop. So.
Who's better in a stressful situation?
Really?
Josh is pointing to himself.
I don't know. We probably are pretty good.
Because our parents were always stressed out. So we kind of are calm in stressful situations because our parents were always spinning out.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the question. You're going to rob a bank. Who's driving the getaway car? Who's robbing the bank?
I'm robbing
Josh
the bank.
Josh is not getting near that bank.
No. I'll rob the bank.
Because you'll forget stuff. It'll be annoying.
Okay. Do you want to do the one last quick question? It's a two-parter. We ask this to everybody, okay? First part is, if you could take something from your sibling for yourself, a trait, an attribute, something that you love about them that you wish you had, what would that be? And on the flip side of that, if you could alleviate something from them, take a stressor away to make their lives a little bit better, what would that be?
What would I take from you, Josh? I would take your contentment with, like, you're happy with things and you aren't in this constant pursuit of there's something else out there. And I think that there's something so noble about that. And what would I take from you? I would like to take your PTSD, because I know how to deal with stress and depression and ups and downs. And you're just learning about mental health. And I've been dealing with it my whole life. So I would take that from you, because I know how to do that one.
Mm, good.
I would take her ambition, the fire and the fight that she has inside of her to just want to keep pushing. I mean, look at what she did with the Honest Company. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's remarkable. So I would take absolutely more of that take away from her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Alleviate, take away.
I mean, it's, I would take away her, her stress. I mean, the stress that she deals with on a daily basis her sleep, her lack of sleep, her lack of, she's constantly on the move. I mean, I would take away her schedule. Can I take away her schedule? Is that a thing
can you take mine away anxiety, too?
Yeah. I'm going through that shit right now. It's crazy.
It's gnarly.
That's another conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just started it, and I've had it like literally since I was like 11.
Yeah, the post-COVID, like I get these panic attacks, that they're insane. I don't, like I literally think I'm going to die.
Yeah.
It's insane. God. Anyway.
Well, my throat has been closed off this entire podcast. And I've been, I mean, my adrenals have been wide open, so I, you know, I'm feeling it too. So.
Well, go to the tennis match. I love you.
Yeah, I love you guys. Bye. Love you guys. Thank you so much for being so open.
This is
awesome.
This is so fun.
All right.
All right. Have a good one.
Okay. Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson and Oliver Hudson.
Producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.
If you want to show us some love, rate the show. And leave us a review. This show is powered by Simplecast.